Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. 2 days after Barisan Nasional saw a landslide victory in the Johor polls, the choice of Menteri Besar has yet to be settled. In a surprise move, incumbent MBB Hasni Muhammad, who led Barisan Nasional to victory, now suggests that the party leadership should appoint a younger representative as the Menteri Besar. Macap Assemblyman On Hafiz Ghazi and Rengit Assemblyman Puat Zakarshi are now reportedly on the shortlist. What will this mean for Barisan Nasional's narrative of stability and continuity? To understand the future of Johor politics, we have Bastian On joining us on the line. He's an exco member of UMNO Youth. Bastian, why the sudden change in direction for the Menteri Besar position?
Yeah, I think that that shows that how magnanimous Yang Berhormat Dato' Hasni in offering a sure reform and allowing a younger candidate to lead the state. And he said that Johor is bigger than any leader of any parties. So it is important that he shows the right spirit, and surely that he is promising a reform in Johor state itself.
Bastian, I understand that youth is one of the five pledges that was made in Hasni's campaign, a very successful campaign. Clearly, he's not going to be rewarded for that. I'm wondering, as much is must speculated, is the palace playing a role in the choice of MB? Is there pressure from the palace about who they would like to see as Menteri Besar?
Well, first of all, that UMNO's Johor State UMNO sent three names for yang Tuanku dipersembahkan kepada Tuanku to consider. So it's not a matter of whether there is a pressure from the palace, but the suggestion came from UMNO itself. And I think after a deep discussion that Dato' Hasni think that it's time for a younger leaders to rise from Johor.
But Barisan Nasional, many could argue, really won on the back of Hasni's pledge of his five pledges, his narrative of stability and his future, his vision for Johor. How then can you justify to the voters, just 48 hours after, that there's been a change in who they thought they were voting for as a Menteri Besar?
Yeah, no doubt that Dato' Hasni has led UMNO to a genuine legitimacy so that BN can rule comfortably in Johor. But of course that if there is changes in the Menteri Besar itself, it also said that UMNO Johor has the courage and it sent a strong signal to the federal about what UMNO Johor is doing.
Bastian, in the run-up to the polls, Besatu had alleged that there were attempts to remove Hasni, but the name that came out in this regard was Puat Zakarshi, and there were denials from UMNO that this was happening. We understand that, UMNO is deeply factionalized, and there are factions supporting Puat Zakarshi, include UMNO president Zahid Hamidi. Is UMNO factionalism playing a role in this drama that we see unfolding before us?
I mean that UMNO Johor have to offer the Johor people the best leadership. And naming three leaders as a candidate of Menteri Besar Johor, showing that how the openness within the UMNO ranks and to and for the consideration of Bawang Duli Tuanku to choose for who the best to govern the people in Johor.
Okay. Well, I want to move on to the kind of looking at the repercussions of the supermajority that you won, the two-thirds majority, and what this means for Johor state politics and whether that is actually going to affect the federal level politics, because again, you know, to cite something that Puan Zakarsi said a little bit earlier, he said that, well, maybe Bersatu, who is at federal level coalition partner to UMNO, should resign, that the leader, Muhyiddin Yassin, should resign and should resign from government. How will what happened in Johor over the weekend translate into federal level politic dynamics?
Well, what is important for Johor is UMNO to rise again, and we have gotten a clear mandate from the people that the people in Johor want Barisan Nasional to govern. And these comfortable wins, of course, will shed some light towards what's going to happen in GE15. And I hope that the people can read this clearly. And UMNO Johor has shown that there is probably there will be a change of leadership to a younger generation.
Bastian, the question of the five pledges, and I had the good fortune of actually speaking to the caretaker Menteri Besar last week. He's very passionate about reform, including equal allocations for all representatives. But now with a supermajority and a possible a new or a different Menteri Besar helming Johor, are there incentives to continue with this rather generous approach to politics? Or are we going to return to the older style of dealing with state opposition?
I trust that the promises that have been pledged to the people is a party decision, and it's a well thought through promises. And I think that it won't change anything. And I'm sure that the whoever will be chosen as a Menteri Besar will hold to the promises.
Okay, who do you think it's going to be, Bastian?
It's really up to... we already give three names, and of course, the decision will be made soon by whoever that Yang Kebawah Duli Tuanku perkenan.
Is there a danger of delay? I mean, again, 48 hours since the majority was announced. Is there a danger of the delay of the announcement?
I don't see any danger in it. That, as you can see, that UMNO Johor really put three names there for the consideration of Sembahkan Kebawah Duli Tuanku to choose. So I think that the delay will allow that who to be chosen between the three names and give enough space and times who going to govern Johor in the future.
Bastian, thank you for joining us on the show. Bastian on from UMNO Youth there. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more on this topic. Stay tuned. Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. Let's speak now to Datuk Chong Sin Woon. He is Secretary General of MCA. And this after Barisan Nasional's decisive win during Saturday's Johor election, now commanding 2/3 majority in the State Assembly. Datuk Chong, Hasni Muhammad, caretaker MB, has now suggested that the party leadership should appoint someone younger to become head of the state. Now, I'm just wondering, does MCA have a preference as to who should lead the state?
Well, we have not had our discussion yet. We're going to have our central committee meeting this Friday. Depending on when the Menteri Besar is going to sworn in, we still have some time for it to decide who name is going to propose. But I suppose that when we have 2/3 of our candidates coming from a young and young professional, so I think following with that kind of what we have served to the public of Johorian, that we'll probably we're going to have some young faces in our exco lineup.
Dr. Chong, to what extent is MCA in the room during these discussions about who leads the state, and the relationship that the government wants to have with the palace? I mean, is MCA in the room during these discussions?
Oh, of course, our president is in a close discussion with the Pakistan National, and it really all depends on who is going to be the Menteri Besar and what kind of lineup the new Menteri Besar is going to wish for. And we have good candidates. We have won four seats with a good candidate for us to present our name list.
Right. Well, those four seats, along with MIC's four seats, helped, I guess, secure the two-thirds majority for the Barisan National Coalition. I'm just wondering now, what does this signal for MCA? Does this signal a return of MCA's voter base? Is that what you are, how you are translating the win over the weekend?
Well, we are not that arrogant to say that we are actually coming back strongly, but humbly, all the forces that we won clearly show that we have got the majority. Yeah? All the forces that we won have over 50%. So opposition can't claim that if they combine all the opposition vote, they're going to win. So we have no issue of winning the four seats with majority. So it's a clear message for us to we already have delivered. It's just that we have not come back as strong as what we wanted for, but it's a good result for us.
Dr. Chong, what do you think was in the minds of voters? Why do you think that they chose the MCA this time? What exactly clinched the deal for MCA?
Well, you can say that most of the Chinese voter has been disappointed with Pakatan for the past 22 months about their performance in the government. So the kind of protest by the Chinese voters is that did not come out to vote. So we don't claim that the Chinese have been coming back to us, obviously, but we did gain some ground. If you look at what votes that we receive is actually increased. So, but we do not want to claim that the Chinese have come back to Barisan Nasional or to MCA. But it is slowly coming back. But more are disappointed with DAP. So we are on the positive side. I can only comment on that.
So what else will MCA do beyond just capitalizing on voter disappointment or disenchantment with DAP? I'm wondering what MCA is going to be putting on the table in terms of governance, particularly for the state of Johor, and how will you be an equal partner in this coalition?
Well, we have our strength as a Chinese party. We have all the connection with the business sector. We have a good connection with China or Singapore. So in Johor per se, we're gonna play our role to reconnect to the business world, to reconnect to Singapore, reconnect to the investors. We're gonna play our role in helping the Johor to regain and restart their economic recovery plan.
Dr. Chong, it's very interesting that Barisan National championed a narrative of stability in these recent polls, but paradoxically, it might create instability at the federal level. There have been calls already from certain segments of UMNO for a general election. Is that something that the MCA would like to see? Do you want general elections called in the near future for the country?
Well, looking after the result of Johor, MCA is more ready and more confident to face the GE. Of course, taking into account of the pandemic, if we can drag a little bit longer, maybe another few months or another 6 months, for us to really settle down and have more confidence towards the pandemic control, I think it would be better for us to call for the next GE. But of course, we have a lot of variables whether or not to call for G as soon as possible. But again, we can look at the result of Johor. We can see that people really asking for stability. because without the stability, there's nothing to talk about a recovery plan, economic recovery. So what comes before the recovery of economics is really about stability in politics. So I think, yeah, if the whole political, I mean, looking forward for next GE to dissolve the parliament, yeah, we are ready for that.
Okay, Datuk Chong Sin Woon, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Secretary General of MCA there. We're going to take another quick break here and Consider This. Back with more in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. Thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's speak now to Associate Professor Dr. Hamidin Hamid, political analyst with University of Malaya. Dr. Hamidin, what do you think this delay, what's happening right now in Johor with the delay in naming the Menteri Besar, what is all that signalling to you?
Thank you, Melissa. Everybody. I think when look at what's happened in the past couple of hours, in Johor, especially during the day, it is a surprise when we look at the same issues in Malacca, where they have to have a swearing ceremony at the middle of the night. And now, no ceremony was taken even 24 hours after they were declared as a winner. Obviously, from what we gather from the sources, it is a clear indication that Hasni is no longer being accepted by Palace to lead. And in fact, the statement by Hasni very much give an indication who's the Palace preferred to be the next Menteri Besar of Johor. I think the tricky part for UMNO and Barisan Nasional is very much the issues of Menteri Besar actually is one of the main things that being campaigned by UMNO, meaning that's how stability for them is because Hasni become the Menteri Besar. So I think that is very much a big step back for UMNO in Barisan Nasional in regard to the appointment of Menteri Besar when, if Hasni is not appointed as a Menteri Besar. But looking from the sources that we get now, I think there is a big tussle, a big discussion and negotiation between the Palace and the party now.
Yeah, I mean, there was also before polls and in the campaign, I believe Bersatu had also raised the question of whether Hasni would remain as the Menteri Besar, and they had suggested that Zaid Hamidi's faction in UMNO was pushing for what Zakarsi, and he's been one of the strongest critics of Bersatu. It was denied by UMNO. You know, they said that there was no such thing. I believe, of course, Zakarsi said, you know, that he didn't want the job anyway. So, and then we have this turnaround. There seem to be, the position seems to be in play, not just between UMNO and the Palace, but between these different factions within UMNO. Could you help us understand where this Adun from Machap stands? Yeah. Because he seems to be rumored to be the man of the hour. Is he in this dynamic?
I think looking at the three names supposedly sent to Palace, Hasni, the current MB, and Ong Hafiz from Machap, and also Puan Zakarsi himself from Batu Pahat. His name was mentioned as the third candidate. Obviously, I think Puan is very much favored by the fraction of Zahid and Najib. In fact, people were even during the campaign in Rengit, actually, can you imagine Rengit is one of the strongest whole of UMNO. Even then, Puan Zakarsi win only with less than 2,000 majority there. It was a big dissatisfaction among the UMNO, the local UMNO, when the former Wakil Rakyat Ayub was not selected as a candidate. But having said that, On Hafiz is have a very a close relation with a Palace. I think when he was a youth ESCO in the previous government, and he worked closely with Tengku Mahkota Johor, TMJ, especially in advising the youth situation in Johor. And furthermore, I think he's come from particularly with a family from Ong Jaffa tradition, so they have a very close and casual relationship with the palace. With that, I do think, looking at the statement made by Hasni and looking at the relationship between On and the palace, I do believe that he is a favorite now to become the next Menteri Besar Johor.
Can we talk a little bit about the consequences of all of this, not just what the landslide victory of Barisan Nasional UMNO on Saturday, but now with this uncertainty around Menteri Besar leading up to the Delegates Assembly of UMNO that's going to be happening later this week. And I'm just wondering, how do you see the puzzle pieces falling into place, particularly as we're thinking also about pressure to call for general elections, pressure on Ismail Sabri? How are you making sense of all this, Hamidin?
I think, indeed, the next PAU is very important to really chart the boundaries and the trajectory of Malaysian politics for the next 6 months, at least. First, as you said, I think it's definitely three things that I think will become a major thing that people look at the PAU. UMNO Assembly. One is, when is the next election? Second, can Ismail Sabri sustain his position? And the third, in my point of view, is the relationship between UMNO and PAS in Muafakat Nasional. That's the three things that very much people are looking, how the PAU want to solve all that. Similarly, I think the issues of Menteri Besar of Johor will be definitely appear in terms of that. Even though if you look at it from the media, UMNO, I think, tried to spin it, saying that it is about transferring the power to the younger generation because they are about to face the young generation in the next general election. But I do believe it's very much something that UMNO faction are not very much anticipate, that the palace are very much firm to see the changes of Menteri Besar, because it seems there is no problem with Hasni before this. And furthermore, I think it's very difficult for UMNO in the grassroots really to explain about this to their own people. If you follow the campaign of Johor, basically it's a very much localized campaign. And Hasni was the poster boy. Hasni was the main thing, that kind of the main ingredient in the campaign for UMNO. So without him being the Menteri Besar, I think it's going to be a very skeptical, even for UMNO, among UMNO hardcore, how can UMNO face that facing the PRU? So with that, I think PAU will definitely try to solve that. I think give a soft landing to that issue. But above all, I think is matter of faction of UMNO. I think this General Assembly we can see the tractions between the group becoming more and more bigger in my point of view. So the faction between Ismail Sabri, the cabinet cluster and the court cluster, I think will become more open during and after the PAU,
So, Hamidin, you seem to be suggesting that instead of entering into a period of stability, we're entering into greater instability over the coming months. I do want to ask you a question that perhaps a lot of us might ask rather naively. Why is somebody who has so successfully brought Barisan Nasional back to power in Johor conceding so quickly to this attempt to push him out?
I think this is interesting, Sharon, as you mentioned just now. Ironically, UMNO's campaign based on stability, while we know that as a party, UMNO now in the stage where is the most fractions within UMNO that we see in history. It never saw, I think, for the longest time, and we know this next couple of months is very vital for UMNO, especially for their assembly in November, where they're supposed to find a new set of leadership.
Okay. For UMNO now. And this is where, in my point of view, we'll give some brief to Ismail Sabri, where Ismail Sabri, definitely we're going to use this argument to prolong the life of central government to the MKT. But I doubt he will be successful in terms of that. What happened now, I think, especially the certain group in UMNO, led by Zahid and Najib and others, have a very strong kind of argument and will argue that the result of Melaka and Johor seems that they are in the right place and they are in the right position to lead back UMNO. With that, I think with their control of MKT of UMNO, I think they will get away with murder this time, even in the PAU.
Wow. Hamidin, always a pleasure talking to you. Political analyst Hamidin Hamid there, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Alyssa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Good night.